We're going to talk about the soul. It's a little bit harder to get to because everyone loves to be validated and say, well, I'm born again. And some even like to say, Jalen, that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost to identify as who they are. But yet we come to church and this is the hour, the time, the gathering when Alejandro, we're going to appear the most right with God and masquerades. What we put on the outside is never thicker than we come to the house of God, because here it's very difficult to be honest. Except God breakthrough, and you have a God encounter, AJ. And as I've been trying to say, the main function of organized religion is to protect you against a real encounter with God. So they do all types of things to make you feel like you've been pleasing to God, which is also a mask, forms, traditions, ceremonies, catechism, communion every fifth Sunday of the month, makes us feel religious. Well, I'm not religious. Surprising to say, I'm a very unreligious person, if you knew me. But I do walk with God. And I do hear from God. And I can see God in people that other people, they can't see it. God lives with me and in me in a small, still voice. And someone said, oh, you're making God small. No, He's very large and very huge. He just knows I can't take it. But in a small and a still way, He leads me and He guides me and directs me. So we're going to talk about the flow. The flow of who you are, your soul, all of your past, and what you've calculated, and what you've thought about your past, and how your past is really determining a lot of how you're presenting yourself right now. And that's either with a lot of hurt, a lot of shame, a lot of pain, a lot of rejection, a lot of abuse, a lot of unhealed hurts, a lot of unmet needs. You may be right on the edge of being very angry again. I finally asked God why I was so angry. He said, well, you're not angry at anyone else. You're angry at yourself for being such a simpleton as a child, for not being more aware, for not catching on quicker, for being such a novice, a nouveau, that a lot of bad things happened to me, and I was unaware that bad things could happen. I went through a lot of bad, not knowing that I maybe could have protected myself, but I didn't know better. I wasn't street smart. I wasn't family smart. I wasn't relationally smart. Because of that, there was a whole lot of abuse and manipulation that took place. I got so mad at me that I said, you are never going to let that happen again, Kevin. If anybody does, they're going to get a punch in the nose. Quick. I took on the job of defending myself. And I know I'm probably the only one who's ever gone through a thought process like that. Who says, I don't want to be hurt no more. So I started to do everything in my power to make myself stronger. And more stable, and be more set, and more braced. Because all I was really saying is, what I've learned about humankind is I don't know if I can trust you. I don't know what you're going to do to me. Now, I'm just talking about me, my vulnerabilities. So, when we deal with us, we're a past, and what we have made of it, and what we think of it, we're a present. And our past, from underneath, could be having a lot to do with how you present yourself today, and a lot to do with the vision that you have of you going into your future, if you're basing it on your past. I mean, he's with me. Now, your soul, in dealing with your mask, no one likes to be told, can you take the mask off and let's have a real talk? Can you drop the masquerade? That is your waking consciousness saying, this is the me that I've come up with, that while I'm awake, this is what I'm going to present to you. This is the who I am that I want you to think of me. And it may be very far from the truth. It may be very, very far from who you really are. It may be way off. Your mask may be quite elaborate in the masquerade of life. You see, those who only look outwardly, they dream dreams. And your dream may not be coming true like you thought it would. Nobody's ever had a dream turn into a nightmare. Oh my God, and I don't want to be in it. And when we only look outwardly, we wind up living a dream that many times doesn't come true and is very far from reality. And you're constantly trying to reach a goal. It's not realistic because it's not the real you. Those who look inwardly awaken. Those who look inwardly take the risk of getting in touch, Cooper, with who they really are. Instead of carrying around so much pain and so much sorrow and so much misunderstanding, smiling at moments but carrying the overwhelming burden. Certain things happened in your life that you didn't want to happen, but they happened. You didn't want to be in the car when it wrecked, but it sure enough wrecked. People got split up. Lives got broken. And as long as you're not bleeding to death, well, he's okay. He's not okay. Because something got broken, and it's called his heart. He carries around a broken heart. You can see it on your countenance. I've always seen it. And I've always recognized it. Very seldom does he let anybody through, because he doesn't want people to see how hurt his hurt is. So we're like a river of past, present, future. How many agree? And you cannot help see things, Jalen, but by the way you see things. So we all saw the same thing. Yeah, but we didn't see it the same way. I guarantee the way Leah sees something may be entirely different from the way you see something. See, when an event happens, we're not choosing for that to happen to us. But we can choose how we respond to the chaos and the tribulation and the trouble of life. How will you respond to it? You do have that choice. Most people don't realize it. Most people live on the autopilot of their inner conscience, and they let feelings rule the day. Oh, that's how I feel about it. Why do you feel about it? Well, I don't know why I feel about it. Well, you need to know why you feel that way about it, because your determinations are making everything worse. Or you can respond to an event and see it in a very godly way, a very positive way, in a very forgiving way. You can take something bad and make something very good out of it. See, generally if a broken person responds to you, you'll respond in a broken way. And if you feel like their broken response to you is trying to break you further, you will retaliate with more brokenness to break them back. Hurt responds to hurt. Hate responds to hate. Accusation responds to accusation. Or, instead of all this cliche, we could slow down, think about what's happening, and say, you know what, I have a choice. Jesus died on the cross, and while he was dying, insults being cast into his face, punished, slapped, falsely prophesied about, lied on, he still had a choice. He could have responded in kind, but that's not what was in him. See, where there's love, there's no will to power. Carl Jung said, where there's love, there's no will. There's no need to demonstrate or exercise authority and power. Because those who exercise authority and power are really seeking love. And they want to gain it by control. But that's not the way you get it. I wish we'd say amen. We're going to put a chart up here in a minute, and I'm going to put it on the board and let you look at it visually, but I want you to hear what I have to say. Oh, and if you're looking for Bible, yes, Mark the New Testament, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. And I'm not going to read it for you. Read it yourself. Wow, we've got to determine if you believe it. I know I believe it. Do you? I looked it up. That's why I believe it. I looked it up and I've reread it and read it and read it. I'm not going to read it for you. How about you read it? Say amen. Because I'm going to live by it. We'll find out if you do. Not with my words, but with what I live and what I do. My actions will tell you I live by it. And in that area, there are four types of ground talked about. There's wayside ground, there's stony ground, and there's ground that's just covered with thorns and thistles, and then there's that place called good ground. And that's where the kingdom of God can grow. That's where a little thing like the smallest grain, called a mustard seed, smallest of all seeds, can get into that good ground and become the largest herb and largest tree in the field. Huge! That little tiny seed can grow into something huge. But that's not the rest of the story. Those other three quarters of ground, the wayside ground, the stony ground, and the thorns and the thistles, will we ever learn to cultivate and clear that ground out so the good seed of the kingdom can be put in there too, and that we can finally grow as a Christian? Are we like living in one-fourth of our lives and our humanity as real people of God? We're living fractionally. Fractionally. By the time you get to the end of this parable, around verses 19 and 20, he said, here's a determination, Sister Williams. Will you be 30-fold? Will you be 60-fold? Will you be 100-fold? God, being a very wise God, has taught us instruction and discretion. He'll teach you how to deal with the thorns and the thistles in your ground, in your heart, from your past, from what happened to you. People abused you, lied to you, hit you, hurt you. Does that mean all of us are that way now? But it doesn't take the hurt away, does it? Because it is there. This is a marriage of safety. He is a safe person. You, sir, man, Holy Ghost, you're a shelter from the time of storm. You're a covert. You wonder why so many problems come and gather around you? Because they feel safe around you. God's given you a safe demeanor, a safe spirit. He's given you a strength that they can depend upon. He's given you such a strength that they come to you and they fall apart right at your feet. And many times you're like, wow, there's no safer place to do it. There's no better shelter to do it. If we're going to tear the car down, we're going to do it under your carport. Right? We've got to learn to trust one another. He's a safe person. So safe that others thought they could abuse it. Well, they were wrong. And you were strong enough to make another good, godly decision that caused you to grow all over again. That failure is not a failure. It is on their part, not on yours. God used that for your growth. You took a quantum leap forward by not living in the cesspool of bad ideas. I wish we'd say amen. You know, as a pastor, I want to help you. I'm not trying to call you out to make you look bad. I'm trying to get you to experience God in a deeper and a greater way. And there's three-fourths of your territory. Three-fourths. You're living in a fourth. Now, yeah, you got saved. That should motivate you that we got to do something with this other ground because, God, if He could do that with this little bit, I wonder what He could do with the rest of me. How many's ever had that thought? If God could be that rich in my good ground, what if I cleared out the thorns and the thistles? What if I learned the mizamah of discretion, the wisdom that God teaches the farmer, what season, what time, what instruments, and what harvest, and what growth? Can we make the earth work for us all year round? That no matter what season it is, I have a harvest coming in. No matter what season it is. I don't know, Jesus kind of said it like this. Be instant in season, out of season, which means every season I have a harvest coming in. Because I've done something with the rest of the soil of my soul. Most of us live with it corrupted, and we use that to determine where we are. And even more unfortunately, the past is also determining and navigating what our future is going to look like. Because everyone sees things from their own perspective. Everybody lift your hand and say, I see things from my own perspective. We talk about families. AJ can't help but think of his own family. He's going to see it from his perspective. So are you. So am I. So will Bobby. The perspective of his wife who's gone on to be with the Lord. His two sons. Working and building, constructing and making houses, and He's the Father of it all. You can't help but see things from your own perspective. Everybody say, I see it with my eyes, not yours. That's how I comprehend. So will we allow the things of the past to come under from the darkness, reach up and grab us, and say, this is going to happen again. Here I am again. Here's failure again. Here's sorrow again. Here's the lack of self-worth again. Here's your failure again. Oh, try as you will. You'll just fail at it. Stop trying. Just become mediocre. Stop venturing out. Bad mistake. All your failures are only getting you closer to the real success. They're not failures. They just taught you how to get it right. It takes more courage to go out and not succeed than to hit it big the first time you tried it. People ask me, how do you know the Bible so well? Because I've got it wrong so often. I didn't read it one time and, oh, I got it. Really? You got it? You're amazing. Me? I thought I had it, only realized I don't know anything as I ought to know it. Let me go back and read that again. Let me go back and restudy that. This is what I thought it meant. And Jesus said, well, that's way too narrow. Much bigger than that. Y'all with me today? AJ, if you would bring that dry erase board on out here. I'm going to try to stand and talk to you. Probably service will be shorter. And it's not about what your behind can endure. It's how much I can endure standing on my feet. You better be thankful that my body wears out quicker. I used to think everybody's in this for the right reason. They want an encounter with God. Not so much. In a fractional way. Give me a good pen. Give me a good ink pen. One that's dark and has a lot of color left in it. I need one that really works. We got one? That one? He says it's that one. Let's see. Color in the pen. Let us see if you'll begin. Not bad choice. We're going to call this the past. Tell me, what of your past returns and haunts you? You can't hide it. I'm sorry, you can't hide it. And I'm not trying to get you. I'm just saying what I know. This is what makes me a good minister. Makes me a terrible modern-day pastor, but it makes me a fantastic minister. Because you know that God knows, and now you also know that I know. And the only reason I know is to help you with God. That's the triangulation of getting somewhere, of substance. See? Three of us know now. God, me, now you know that God knows and I know, and I'm going to help you reconnect here. Because God wants to give you something to stand on other than your own thoughts, which leave you helpless, hurt, broken, and trying to escape from something of the past. Somebody tell me, just some generic terms, no details. No details. That's what I want. Yeah, give me all the lurid details. How about no? How about this past? What are things of the past? Shame. Much the same, right? Guilt. I don't think I spelled that right. Did I spell that right? G-U-I-L-T. How come it doesn't look right? Abuse. Neglect. Oh, wait a minute. Can I stop right there? Neglect. Why? Where was God? Where was Mom? Where was Dad? Where was love? Why was I alone? Why was I not protected? God, if you're God, where were you? You tell me you can do anything. Would like to know where the freak you were when that happened to me. Yeah, and I'm mad about it. Right? Now, this doesn't get dealt with. See if there's a black pen. I need to be. I'm choosing to be dark. When I deal with the past, I want to be dark. I want to be dark as the raven's hair on Alejandro's head. Black and bushy. After climbing on that roof there, I see some gray ones popping in. I'm just kidding. Diane talked me into coloring my hair one time. I felt so fake, I went and had all my hair cut off. I was like, my God, I can't do this. Was there any more back there? Okay. Neglect. Huh? Failure. Oh, I've never had none of those. Have y'all? Personal. Boy, he put a P in front of it. Not just failure. He's taking ownership. Personal means that was my failure. That's why I was mad at me. My failure to be aware of not being manipulated, controlled, and hurt. In other words, Jalen, I was nearly 16 going on 18 before I realized why I liked playing football and why I liked hitting people. Because I was getting everybody back. I wanted to hit them as hard as I could. Because I'd been hit so hard. I wanted to hit them as hard as I could. And if you thought you were tough, well, I'd say good. I'll be tough too. We'll see who wins. Now it's even. Hit a boy so hard one time, it broke the shoulder pad in half. Split it right in half. He didn't come out and play football anymore. I remember closing my eyes. I was determined to cut him a flip. And I did. I broke my first rib when I hit him so hard too. Underneath my collarbone. I did get a new pair of shoulder pads. Cool. And for a while I thought, well, that's who I am. No, that's broken me. That's not who I am. That's retaliating me. That's not a good version of me. Right? That's not the true me. That's the hurt me. Oh, black and purple. Woo! Black and blue. How many's ever been bruised by something? Something that hit your soul and it bruised you, hurt you. Is that it? Gosh, short list. Abuse, shame, guilt, neglect. And Brent says, personal or my failure. What else is back there? Huh? Oh my. Betrayal, good one. You know why he said betrayal? Because he's genuine in love. A person who's not genuine in love can't be betrayed. He took the risk of really loving somebody. Really gave whoever it was his heart. And they betrayed it. Anyone else know betrayal? You can just nod. It's okay. Or you can hold on to it and you can continue to say, here's the hell of it. You can use this to say, this is who I am. This is how I get my identity, my ID, my id. This back here, what I think of it, cultivates today the me that you see sitting in front of you. All the past, that's who I am. Thank you, Shay. That's right. It's not true. Everybody say it's not true. You see, in everything we give thanks. In it, because the world's full of chaos, you can be at the wrong place at the wrong time. You ever heard that before? Did you cause what happened? Or were you a victim to what happened? just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and the wrong thing happened to me just by being in that location at that time. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time on Hudson, and another car found right in the front of my car, and I was in a collision. It wasn't my fault. But I could have made everything worse in that moment by really fussing about material things, being mad, and I felt something much better come over me. Because the reality of that event was not going to just be determined by the event, but how I reacted to the event. So I immediately got out and made sure the other guy was okay. And the first thing I said, "I'm so sorry. Neither one of us wanted this to happen. It's not making my day, and I know it's not making yours." He said, "I'm so sorry. I know it was my fault. I never saw you." See, a soft answer turns away wrath. Or I could have said, "What are you doing? What are you thinking, you buffoon idiot? How could you cross four lanes of a boulevard? Do I have a bullseye on the front of my car? What are you doing? Stupid? How inane of you." Well, that would have made everything worse. Or I would have made that reality worse by the way I responded. I want you to hold your hand up and say, "I have a choice. Will I respond gracefully? Or will I respond hatefully?" I have a choice. Grace always gives you a choice. Now, if you're operating on autopilot, you can be flung into madness and be in the middle of madness and anger before you start getting a hold of yourself and catching on and saying, "Hey man, what am I doing?" Yeah, you're so far flung into your anger, you could have already made everything much worse. So who needs to catch up with your anger? You can be angry, slow down, sin not. The accident didn't make me happy. I wasn't out there rejoicing, praising God. Glory to God, I've been in an accident. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, shut up. But I'm not going to make everything worse either by being hateful and ugly and responding poorly. Because who I am is worth more than the car that got injured. My being and my person and my reactions are greater than the material stuff that can be replaced. That can be replaced. I remember telling a beautiful lady, beautiful, wonderful lady. She's so distraught. She worked and bought a home. It seemed to be going away. And I told her, I said, "We can get another home. We can't get another you. Don't go down with the home. It's just a home. You'll get another one." And guess what? She got another home. And she's still beautiful and she's still wonderful. I wonder what she learned from that. Maybe you're worth more than a million homes. Maybe that's your real worth. Not the home, but the person who lives in that house that makes it a home. I'm not in love with the home. I love the person who lives there. She's wonderful. Do you know that? She wants to believe it. But again, if this keeps determining your past, your soul, how many's ever had this reoccurring fear, reoccurring thought, reoccurring sin? Because preaching saves them which believe. I'm still being saved myself. You might be a finished work, but I'm not. I still got things that pop up in the soup of my soul. I thought we took all that alphabet. I thought we took that character out. And yet, they must have put an overload of the alphabet E for evil that keeps coming up in my soup. And I fish them out and throw them to the side. I won't eat them. Because E for evil. Everybody say E. Evil. Everybody say Eve. No, I mean E. Evil. Sorry, just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. But in the soup of life, I decided that I had too much evil in me. So every time in the alphabet soup, E would pop up, I would take my spoon, lay it off to the side and say, nope, don't have any more of that. And then I'd be eating some more and another E would pop up. And another E. How many's ever dealt with something and you thought you were done with it and it only popped back up again? Anybody working out their salvation? Or I thought I'd put that under my feet? And now here it is again. Something that I'd rather not be. Something I'd rather not live. And we see all this darkness coming up. And now affects our present. Our present, which is a manifestation of the presence you're manifesting. Now see, I got most of your attention now. Some are even setting up, leaning forward, tuning in. It's good to see you. How you doing? Glad to have you here today in today's broadcast. Good to see you. I love you. God bless you. You've got a great future in front of you. You're very capable. You're very strong. And I love to see your smiling face. Now, when they started out, we were kicked back in a lounge chair just getting through this. But since that time, the real them has stood forward, leaned forward, and they're saying, hey, man, it's pretty interesting. I think I'll get involved with that idea. How many's getting involved with this idea? Is it hitting the bullseye? If you have a soul, that's what I'm shooting at. Oh, I know. Let's run the floor and speak in tongues and call it church and go home. Oh, I've been in so many of those. I've been in so many of those. Run the tops of the chairs. Woo! We had church and we go home as broke as we came in. Because it didn't get into where it needed to get into, our soul. And my soul needs changing. I don't know about the rest of you, but I've been in this long enough now that I really want to behave like what I say. I want my behavior to reveal my belief. So we have all these hurts and pains from the darkness. Everybody say our darkness. And it keeps coming up out of the soup of our soul, saying, this is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. And if you're not careful, you'll so accept that in your present, it'll also begin to say, that's also where you're going. That's also where you're going. And that's also where you're going, because that's who you'll be. This is what I was, this is what I am, and this is who I'll be. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's my dad, that's me. Dad. Your mom might have helped with that one. That's your dad coming out of you. Judith Diane will tell you that. The boys ever did anything wrong. That's Kevin Kello coming out of you. Of course it is. Of course. All wickedness, the fountain of all evil. Yours truly. The precipice of all darkness and wickedness. Ta-da! Good to be here today. How are you doing? Stop being like your dad! Yeah, well, so much so that they learned to not be like their dad. And everything about me is not bad. Well done is better than well said. Well done is better than well said. I hear a lot of I'm so tired of talking. I'll be watching something on the TV and I might halfway be interested, but if they start talking too much, I'll mute it because I'm so tired of hearing talk. Either get the job done or shut up. Either get the job done or shut up. I really can't talk. Please be quiet and just do the job. Now that's my temperament. I want me and Wister, that's where we're alike. Stop talking, go to working. We need to chop and split all this wood. Stop talking about it. What type of axe? What type of sledgehammer? What type of wedges? Well, I can tell you, if you don't use what you got, we won't have no wood, so why don't you shut up and use what you got? Right? When we allow this, the past, continue to transmit, because this is what has been, this is what will be, and this becomes where we're going. And it establishes a wrong sense of being. We say that that's who I am, and that's not who you are. That's not who you are. God determines who you are. God forgave all that past. I said, God forgave all that past. Why do you keep bringing it up? If I had a red pen, I got a pink pen. Yeah. Pink. AJ awful suffers from being colorblind, but nevertheless. The blood comes in and says, right now, I forgive all of that. All this is forgiven. How is all that forgiven? Not remembered. Well, then who's remembering it? You are. God doesn't remember it. You do. And you still use that as the criteria for where you are, what you'll be, and where you're going. Paul said, no wonder this one thing I do have, I'm going to forget what's behind. Forgetting those things that are behind. Everybody say, forget about it. Forget about it. Yeah. Go up north. Forget about it. Yeah, forget about it. Bada bing, bada boom. Let's go forward. Hey, I bring my own shoes. Go park the car. Yeah, forget about it. Well, maybe not that forget about it, but I think it's funny. And apparently some others do too, so I'm winning the crowd. They're laughing. Well, at least we're getting there. Somebody say amen. Can we forget about it? Or is the past so instantiated that you're so lost you don't even know who you are without the pain of the past? You're holding on to pain for feelings instead of having new and better feelings. The pain of the past determines who you are. That's why when someone loses someone, they hold on to the pain of the losing someone because they're afraid they're going to lose the someone who's lost. And pain becomes how they hold on. It's hard to live in somebody else's pain, isn't it? I can have compassion and prayer. It's difficult for me to live in death. But many people do, and they choose that that's their way of life, and that's not the way of life. Just a few amens would be fine. Now, well, that's where God is. Only God can live here, and only those who know Him live in the now with Him. Now, because God is so much now, all the past, He forgives it. He redeems it. He's the one entity that could take you and He back here and redeem any one of these you wanted to. If you'll voluntarily go with God, I hope you're hearing me. You want to clear the land out, this is how you do it. See, Job 19, in the last verse, he said, "Why don't you have compassion, seeing the root of the problem is in me?" God's digging out the root of something that I fear and reverence more than God. And God's digging it out. That's what all this trial and chastisement and tribulation is about. God is so loyal and faithful to me, He's digging out the root. He's getting out the thorns and the thistles so I can offer more of me to Him. And it won't be cluttered up with unneeded thoughts and ideas of who I'm not really, of who I not really am. Can we say amen? Have y'all got some roots and things from the past that keep producing and messing you up in your present and in your future? Who's ever had thoughts like that? Got to learn to cast those thoughts down. Hey, you don't belong in here, you liar. Who let you back in? Diane's a biggie on flies. She hates flies. Fly comes down. Who opened the door? And I said, well, when I came in, I did. I had to enter the house. It was me. Yeah, all the flies. They wait on me to get out of the car, and then they glue themselves to me. They all follow me in the house. They say, look, there's Kevin. We're so attracted to him. So they follow me in the house. No, they just get in because the doors open and the doors close. Right? But there's always the need to assess blame. And I don't like assessing blame. I get worn out with assessing blame. Whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? I thought Jesus dealt with that. Well, who did sin? This guy was born blind. What'd he do in the womb? Punch his mom in the kidney? What'd he do? Try to choke her liver? What'd mom do? Did the parents sin? Jesus said, shut up, guys. Nobody sinned. This is not the result of sin. This is the result of years of genetic chaos. Years and years and years of people living in sin. Sometimes things don't turn out right. Our Constitution says we're all equal, but if you live long enough, you know good and well we're not all equal. Some people are a whole lot smarter than I am. I said, trust me, we ain't equal. He's a genius, and I just showed up. Y'all with me? So we let this darkness, we get told we're our dad. God forgives all that. And now is the accepted time. Now, when can I get started? Now if you want to. You can access this right now by faith. Because by faith we have access into this grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You can access this right now. And you've already got the substance to do it. Substance is faith. You can go back there voluntarily. That's what me and God did. And I said, God, why am I angry? He said, well, you're mad with yourself for ever allowing yourself to be mistreated, for being a pawn, for being innocent, for being unaware, for being duped. It insults your respectability, Kevin, that you let people use you like that. Because now you think better of yourself. Don't let your haughtiness go before fall. Don't be so prideful that your innocence was abused. That's why predators prey on you, because they knew they could. That's why predators prey on the weak, because they know they can. How many can you admit that you're weak? It's taken me a lifetime to realize I'm better weak than in pretending I'm strong. So I'm not pretending I'm strong anymore. And I learned another little nugget about me. I no longer have to seek people's validation. I have enough courage now to say, if you don't like me, it's okay. I give up on it. Okay, you don't like me? Great. Good to know. I still love you. I'll try to be here for you. I'll still be what I am. But liking me, you don't have to. You don't have to. I give up. I surrender. I do. I don't have to be validated anymore. You don't want to be friends? I got it. It's okay. Guess what? I'm kind of worn out with it too. Have any of you ever exhaled and say, man, thank God that's over? Have you ever kind of, thank God. Maybe I can be around somebody who is okay with me and I'm okay with them, and we don't have to do anything to prove it. Dustin, we just love each other. And if you want to be a volunteer, have at it. See? If you and God go back here and deal with one of, I don't know, my failures, boy, there's a bunch there. Me and God go back here, and God redeems that time. God shows you, you weren't neglected. That's back there to show you what I can do. I can redeem that time. Would you like to have that time changed? Would you like to see God in that moment? If He was there, where was He? Well, go with Him and He'll show you where He was. That's why it wasn't worse than what it was. That's why you're here today. Because He wants to show you, I didn't leave you. I didn't forsake you. According to my word, your face was ever before me. Your face I saw. And I'm going to redeem that so it didn't hurt you anymore. And you don't use it to hurt yourself anymore. I may like to be a new you all over again. I'd like to be a new me all over again. And if I give God more ground, He can sow more of the good seed of His kingdom into my soil. And I can go from being a 30-fold Christian to a 60-fold. And how many wants to grow in the Lord? You see, Sister Williams, I found out a lot of people, they say they want to grow until they find out what it takes to grow, and then they say, nah, I'm okay. That sounds like too much work. But see, I want faith that works. I don't want faith that doesn't work. I want faith that works. Who said yeah? I heard a good yeah. Oh, was you? I want faith that works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith that is working. This is my faith working. Amen? You and God can go back voluntarily. If this keeps coming up from the darkness of your soul, telling you this is all you'll ever be, affecting your presence in your present, and then forecasting, oh, that's all you'll ever be. Not true. Lies. Casting down lies and imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. How many believes there's a greater version of you in you? There is in every one of us a whom we have yet to meet and to know. There is a whom inside of you that is the real you. This outer version of you, this is just what society and culture in the present day has taught you to present yourself as so you could be more acceptable because you live in the fear if they saw the real me, they wouldn't like me. And maybe that's the source of your anger and who you're angry at. Someone could have seen the real you, looked at you, and instead of embracing you and loving you and holding you, they left you, deserted you. And you take that as a designation of not being wanted. And you're mad about it. Could be. See, we need our parents. We need our moms and our dads. We need our dad to say, I'm proud of you, son. And you're a lot to be proud of. You're good men. You're a good woman. We need that affirmation coming from a father figure. We need the love and the care of our mothers, like Sister Williams and Diane. They're sweeties. I'm not so sweet, but I can be proud of you. I can give you strength. And to say, that's my son right there. You can do it. You can do it. Can we do it? Yes. See, Dad gives you the courage to try something no one else will, while Mom's saying, oh, be careful, don't fall. And your dad's saying, go higher. You can do it. We need that achievement with care and everything that we are. It'd be tough to be recognized. See, I don't think people understand why we can be hurt. Some people say, when my family got rid of me, I wasn't aborted, but I was given off and put into foster care. I knew my family, and they made it clear that they did not like me or want me. I knew who my mom and dad were, and they made it unequivocally clear I was a mistake. And that's harder to bear than to not know. I know where my source came from. And I was told very directly, we shouldn't have had you. You're one too many. So I'm like, could you have called me in on that decision before you had me? Because I would rather have been born somewhere else where I was wanted. With family that wanted me. I know you got the three you wanted. I hate being the one of the two that you didn't want. Next time, clue me in and I'll try to exclude myself. Because the hurt goes too deep. Because I know who my dad was. And I know who my mom was. And they made it clear, we don't want you. And the sooner we get rid of you, the better we'll like you. That's tough. Everybody say, that's tough. Only God can get you through that. So at a very early age, I made the mistake, Kyle, to go out and try to be validated. Well, they don't want me. Maybe I can validate myself with this person or that person. I'm going to validate myself by having a best friend. Boy, that's been a jungle. What a jungle. But what I was seeking was validation. Missing the validation I had from above. And my best friend Jesus saying, well, when will I be enough? When will I be your confidence? When will I be your strength? See, Carmen, if you're not supposed to be here, where are you supposed to be? Well, if you're here, why don't you make the most of it? Be happy about it. You are here. You are loved. Instead of questioning, where do I fit in? Where do I belong? Why am I here? Do these people like me? Well, join the club. Join the club. You may have come from another country. I was born in this country and I asked that question. See how we turn things into real negatives instead of seeing the God in where we are, the blessing in where we are, the blessing in who we are. You're a very wonderful person. And when you're that cornucopia, you're as good as it gets. Don't let things of your past, things that you think you're supposed to be doing or where you're at or wherever you're supposed to be, wherever that is. You see, if you can see the path in front of you, you're on somebody else's path. You chose to be an imitation instead of an original. I'm still learning what I am, and every day is new to me. And I'm constantly discovering things about me, both good and bad. The bad I know can be redeemed because I'm making meaning out of the suffering that one day is going to give me glory. A lot of suffering, a lot of glory. Little suffering, little glory. Oh, you're not hearing me. That's okay. Why? Why do you have to get out? It could kill you. So when do you realize to get out of abuse? What makes a person get out of abuse? Someone helped you get out of abuse by doing it for you? Would it be better to stay in that relationship and still be abused? So it's a better day, right? But it's still not better. Because the past is still telling you your present's not worth living. And you're not being abused anymore. You're better off without that abuse. Can we say amen? Thank you, Beth. Keep talking. I like dialogues. You're hurting the children by staying in an abusive relationship where they watch mom and dad hate one another and beat one another and fight one another, and you be sitting there saying, well, I'm going to beat them up for what they're doing to my mom or to my dad. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Welcome to this can of worms. Open it up. No wonder you're angry. Who can cool the fire of your anger? Only God can make sense out of the fiery flames, the strange fire, which is to try you. See, if you go into your anger, you can use that as a motivation for something much better. You can be motivated by change. A mother had their child killed through a drunk driver. She was so hurt and crushed by it. But because of just being hurt and crushed by it and run over by it, even though she still misses the loss of her child that was wrongfully killed by a drunk driver, she started a movement called Mothers Against. She got motivated out of her suffering and sorrow and did something about it. The question is, what are you going to do about it? You know this past? You know what this is, really? Thank you, Lord, for bringing this back to my mind. This is the first Me Too movement. The women hijacked that idea over sexual abuse in the workplace. And they said, Me Too. It happened to Me Too. Me Too. There's a lot of Me Toos back here. Somebody say amen. All of us are back there in one way or another. Some of you just don't like to admit it. And if you don't incorporate your darkness will come up in the most ungainly ways and the most ungainly times, and you'll just say, well, it's just who I am, and you'll call it fate. It doesn't have to be your fate. It can be your deliverance. Fate means you can't escape it. Oh, wrong! Wrong, 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 wrong. You can too escape it. Jesus has made a way so that you can escape. He's made a way. But you don't have to live that pain. He's made a way. Take it. Amen. That's what faith does. It takes the moment. You get back to the now. And now instantiates the better. We're going to be talking about this again Wednesday night. I'm sure you'll be watching from your home on your computer. Okay, whatever. You can get back into the now with God. And now means I'm not affected by the temporal things of the past, the temporal things of the present, or the temporal things that I think are going to happen to me in the future. I'm with God, and I'm as eternal as He is. And all of those things stacked together cannot tell you how the greater one is in me. Greater is He that's in me. I'm just a manifestation of God, waiting to happen at the next time. You couldn't put all those things together and me tell you how great my God is. How great my God is in me. I carry the creative language. I have the creative voice of God birthed in me. No one miracle could ever determine how great God is in my life. See, the creative gift is greater than the possessor of him who gets to use it for a time and a season. It may come through me as a treasure, but I'm still greater than that. Because I've gotten back to the eternity with my Father. Put me in any situation with God, dark, without form, without void. Nothing is exactly the everything that God wants to work with. Thank God for offering Him so much. You offer Him everything when you offer Him nothing. When you realize you're nothing, you're offering Him everything. Because I don't have a plan or idea without God. I don't have anything except I receive it. My own plans have already failed. My own thoughts have already failed. What I sought to be validated with, there I was, missing it again. Nevertheless, eternally, I belong to God. What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up into heaven, and when you see Him ascend up, you realize that's where He first ascended. Descended. I'm only going back to where I came from, spiritually speaking. Or as they say, we all wear a mask, metaphorically speaking. Come on, y'all don't remember the movie The Mask? Please. You say you live in the society, in this culture? Come on. Excuse me, Mr. Ipkiss. We all wear a mask, metaphorically speaking. And that's the you that you want me to see. You think you got me fooled with it. Your masquerade party. Hi, how are you doing? Please drop the mask. Can I talk to the real you? Is that possible? Can I get beyond the curtains, Mr. Wizard of Oz? And I find it's an old, doughty old man working a machine with a fiery face. Of Oz! Arr! And when I get to talk to the real guy, he's kind of nice and kind. And he's able to give me exactly what I'm asking for without the fiery face of Oz! You know that's why people exercise authority. They want to have dominion and power over you. And love is the pathway, not power. Real power should give way to love. And love should give way to a sound mind. We're going to be brothers at length. I realize it now. I may never get to be an amigo, but we're going to be brothers. At least I can be his hombre. I can be a sombrero. Is it okay to like who you like? I just like people. Some people, I really like them. Other people, I'm working on it. I know y'all just love everybody. Me, not so much. I mean, I can admit it. I know some people look at me and they're very melancholy. And you know, melancholy is the happiness of sadness. You happily live alone. I'm happy in my sadness. Leave me alone. Everybody say, that's real melancholy. Compulsive. The happiness of sadness. I'm happy being alone. Move to Alaska. Some people's circle of friends, that small. They live inside that circle. And I realize I'm out here somewhere. It's okay. It's okay. I understand. I'm not your cup of tea. It's okay. Somebody likes tea with lemon. I'll just find the one who does. Right? Diane doesn't like her tea with lemon. I can't hardly drink it without lemon. Yo, because I'm from the South. No, really. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Our entire life, is how we see or how we perceive events. And the reality comes from the event, not because of the event, but how you see and react to the event. That's your reality. If you met somebody in the parking lot that didn't go well and you got mad, well, you come in that reality. If you met someone in the parking lot and it went well, you come in with joy. That's your reality. Not the event, but how you responded to the event. That's what God teaches us. Is this helping anybody? Or do you want me to read a chapter out of the Bible to feel like we've been in church and I've done my job? I'd rather talk to you from my heart. This is what God told me to say anyway. This past, involuntarily, by going to God with who I now am, a new creature. New creature, that's who I am. And all things are made new. That's where I'm going. I'm going into new. I'm going into new. New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. It's all new. Even if you wrestle with Santa Claus and come out of the fireplace looking like that. Everybody say, these guys are living a new life. There's a third one around here too. The fourth one's down at the beach. The third musketeer. The fourth one, because there were four in the three, right? The one who plays electric guitar, he bailed out on you. You need to punch him when he gets back here. Gang up on him. Y'all with me? Telling you. Or do you have enough courage to be you? Do you have enough courage to be you? I'm taking the risk of being me. Me. This is who I am. And I'm also at the place where you can take it or leave it. God loves this. I've had to learn to love this. That's not arrogantly getting in the mirror and saying, God loves this. No. That means good, bad, ugly, on top, underneath, abased, abounding. Paula can tell you, I want to be good to people, but I'm not always the most emotional person all the time. Sometimes I'm just very flat. I don't mean to be. I think, you know, well, we're just going to let what I did, we're going to let that do all the talking. We get in the car and I've just spent 2 hours talking. And guess what Diane wants to do? I like, can I plug into the charger and refill? I'm not quite in the mood. I just ran out of my last few sentences. See, I'll try to remind y'all, I never asked to be a preacher. Never wanted to be. I never thought I'd be a public speaker. And some of you are wondering why, like I am. Why did he choose to do that? Because I really like solitude. I found a peace within. And I'm enjoying the shadow side of the great fortune of love, so compelling, so peaceful. And I'm learning to be at peace with the most important person, me. God in me, I'm at peace with Him. And I found out He's at peace with me and I'm at peace with Him. So when I go out, people can feel peaceful from me, not trying to accomplish anything. Trying to show you love. Trying to get you free from your past. He's not using it against you. If I can get you to stop doing it, it'd be a great move. Because condemnation does not liberate, it oppresses. And you don't need any more condemnation. You're in Christ Jesus. You're following the Holy Spirit, And darling, there is therefore now no condemnation, none to you. This condemnation is not your motivation. Feeling bad about it won't make it go away. It'll just give you bad feelings. And I don't want to share bad feelings. I hope I'm not sharing bad feelings. We went back into the mud and the mire, but it's just to understand. Does this help anybody? You got anything to add to this list, or have we covered it? Thank God, without Brent here, half of the screen wouldn't be filled up. The Grand Canyon, but yet with a great, where there's a great forgiveness, there's a great love. Neglect, shame, guilt, abuse, betrayal, angry, personal failures. My dad, to Diane says, to Josh and Caleb. Now it's interesting, once they got old, she protected them from me when they were little. And now that they got old, she said, I wish you were more like your dad. I'm like, you kept them from being me. You protected them from me. I said, you should have let more of me rub off on them. They'd get more done. Because they want to tell me how they feel about things. I said, I don't care how you feel. We're going to go out and do the work. And we're going to get the feeling after the job is done. Then we'll sit down and talk about our feelings. Shut your face. Give me a vomit bag. God. I don't want to talk about it. There's no better way to paint the house than to get the ladders out and start painting. Painting the house is never going to be fun. If you think painting a house is fun, you got problems. Well, anyway, that's what I have to say for now. That's my today. We're going to finish this Wednesday night. This is still going to be up. And we're going to deal with the rest of Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Just to let you know, it is the master parable. It is the parable that goes in the middle of all parables. And if you don't understand that parable, Jesus said, how will you understand any of the things that I have taught in parabolic form? Can we say amen? Well, that's it today. Unless you want to give me a $100 bill, and then I'll hang on. Unless you want to turn in any jewelry or credit cards or sign over certain pieces of wealth to me, then I'm here. I'm here for you. But if you've given all you're going to give for now, and I can make fun of giving because I don't make an issue out of it. Dinah is the one who takes the money up, if you've noticed. I don't know the amounts. She feels led to not even tell me what we took in. Keep me honest. Keep me on the treadmill working hard. Did we get there? And says, keep running, keep running. Do we feel better today? I hope coming to church has been worth it. I hope you got something out of this. And this is the soul. Again, how we think, what we will, and then our feelings about the future. Feelings about the future, our will of the present, and our thoughts of the past that could be affecting both. Well, amen. Psychiatrist Kevin is done. You can get off the couch now. Take the little blinders off your eyes. Even though you didn't talk back very much. I want to thank Beth, and I want to thank AJ and Brent. Who else had something to say today? David, betrayal. Amen. I'm glad he said that, because I pray I never become one that betrays you. You don't deserve that. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, deal with our souls. Save our souls. Help us to be honest about what's going on in the soup of our soul. Lord, if an E comes up out of our alphabet soup, help us to spoon it out, set it aside. We don't want to be evil. Help us turn our evil into something good. Help us to turn evil around into live. Instead of evil, let's rearrange the letters and let's make something living out of something that's evil. I ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right.